You know, that toilet seat in there is detachable now.
You know you're being recorded?
That's good. You need to put the microphone on if you're going to record.
Oh, and I couldn't find it. It was hiding from me. Welcome to Morning Bible Study. We hope you feel uncomfortable about now. All right, you two, that's enough.
We're just talking about talking.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But that's enough.
Wow.
We're off to a good start here. This morning, we're going to talk about probably a variety of things, knowing myself the way I ramble about. We've been studying the law in our Seder group and Ten Commandments. It's pretty interesting studying the Ten Commandments because they don't mean what it looks like they mean. It means a whole lot more. And it's all spiritual. When you read them from a cursory point of view, you get the gist of it. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't have other gods, etc. And then you start looking in a deeper level and you start catching the real drift of what is God's intention in giving these laws. And it's much of it has to do with not you, but how you relate to other people. So what a surprise. Again, it's not about you. It's about others. And that's how God is. He laid his life down for others. And in preaching and teaching in this community, the cross is our mantra, if you will. It's the thing we never leave. Why do we stick with that element of the gospel? Is because the cross eliminates you from the equation. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's everything. And the everything is, it annihilates everything about you. And it, you know, we've been doing this 30 plus years, and there's still much to repent of. How can that possibly be? It's because the man is multifaceted in his nature and ability to raise himself up vis-a-vis the Antichrist. It's always something happening. Every day is like a new adventure in repentance because things come up all the time. And if repentance is understood and it's the way of life that leads, or the way that leads to life, then that is how we live. We understand it and we live in something I meant to say to you last night. And getting angry. It's like if you get angry, or if you get anything, and you let it go for any amount of time, it gets a grip on you and the roots grow quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just phenomenal to watch it happen. We see it in other people, but same here. If I get a thing going and I don't turn from it quickly, it grows like a wildfire, and then I got to deal with that. A forest fire is hard to deal with. A little campfire is nothing. So repentance is something you embrace in your walk with God, because otherwise you got a lot of misery to deal with and a lot of death. So, and you miss out on what God is about. So we got all these laws. You know, he gave us these laws as not as a meanie. You know, when you read the laws in the flesh, you say, God he's tough. You know, he's a bad dude. And you might want to be careful of him. But the law is filled with love. And the love part is, he knows what's best. And the law is our tutor and our schoolmaster to bring us into what's best. And everything in the mind is going to try and prevent that from happening. The mind doesn't really have your best interest at heart, is one of our cliches. And that's something you got to come to terms with, and not just oh, this is what we believe in the community. No, it's, do you believe it? Is it real to you? Or is it just a cliche that's been taught and you kind of adopt it, and if anybody asks you, you'll spit it out? All of these things have to be personally digested. And if you don't believe them, it's on you to say, I don't believe that. I don't, doesn't ring a bell with me. It's not there. That's the only way there's any integrity or substance in you, is to speak honestly about what you do and don't believe, about this doctrine that we relish in. I was thinking about how fat we are spiritually. We sit around daily and evenings and just glory in this stuff. It's like, it's just amazing how much that we are privileged to delve into. But it means nothing if it's just a drug, if it just gets you high, you know, and makes you feel good for a while, and then you're special or whatever it makes you feel like. There has to be an honest outworking of this life. I was thinking, one of these, know you not that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobate. Well, that's something you don't just hear and let it glance off. Do you know that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you know that? Those words have to be meditated upon, that concept or that idea, and until you have no doubt that your life is, you know, hid with Christ in God, and however that works, and then you're at peace. And what happens then? Whatever happens. That's the beauty of the way God is, that He cannot be confined or even defined. The minute you do that, you're using your mind to recreate the unrecreatable. Just made that one up. and then walk with your new image of this God you created. Whoa, you got another idol, God Himself. And you think you're holy because you're worshiping God Himself that you created. So we are ultimately evil in that respect. There's nothing beyond, there's no limits to the evil of your mind. It will try and save itself at all costs any way it can.
One thing I was remembering at the end of where it lists all the Ten Commandments, whether it's in Exodus or whatever, it says that Moses says this thing where it's like, these are given so that you might not sin. It was like, you know, the surface meaning of that is like, if you know, do everything and behave correctly in all these different arenas, then you won't be sinning. But the real meaning of that was that Christ fulfilled that in Himself and provided a way to get rid of sin completely.
Amen.
And it's like, it's not about us, it's about Him.
Amen. Yeah, and it's not about us doing, it's us seeing that He did it, and that's all that's required. Because when you see Him, if you really see Him, you'll be like Him. Because you'll see Him as He is, and that's the mystery of that. We don't understand how it works, but that is what happens. When you see Him, you're changed. Something chemically takes place in your being, or however it happens, and there's something different about the way you live. And it, again, is about what you then see, because now you're seeing not with your fleshy eyes, but you're seeing through everything to see the gospel. I was thinking, I was walking back this morning thinking about all this stuff, and I caught a little glimpse of a movie, Fools Rush In. And there was a marital argument taking place, and the wife was saying to the husband, why don't you share your life with me? Why do you reject me? And it was like a real powerful scene. It was a crux of the relationship. And I thought, that's what God is saying. That's what Christ says to His bride. Why don't you share yourself with me? Why are you holding back from me? I love and care for you ultimately, intimately, and yet you are afraid of me. And that's what I heard in that. It's like, do we fully share who we are with God? Or do we think we're able to hide from Him with that little fig leaf? as if he doesn't know everything. Well, that's the nature and the relationship of love, is to open up and share who you are, and without fear. The outcome might not be what you want or what you like, but it is love to open yourself up. I was thinking about the end of the commandments. You got the Ten Commandments, the 613 laws. You got all these laws, you know, every one of them trying to come to this same point. And then the end of the law is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Gosh, what does that mean? That's a sentence or two with a universe of meaning behind it. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Is that what you do? Is that your life? Is that how you live? That's why it led to the "Know you not Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobate." You cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You don't do it. You might think it's a good idea. It sounds great. And you say, okay, I'll write that one down and make it part of what I think I am about. But look at yourselves. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, everything you're about, with all your mind? Do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? Raise your hand.
Which one?
Yeah.
Yeah,
nobody raised their hands. Because you cannot do it. And you're honest enough to not raise your hands. But that's why you have to know who you are. And once that's known, that Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all these laws, one guy did it. He is the fulfillment of all the law. And his death on the cross then sealed that whole body of work into eternity. And then, whoa, what's the deal? We're given that life, as that seed has been planted in us. And that same thing then is what's happening in and through us in some mysterious way that our eyes don't see, but it's happening. It is real, and it's taking place. And it's an amazing thing that God is doing. And why did he pick this bunch? Or any bunch?
It was an off day.
It was an off day for a while.
Yeah. He wasn't looking. He picked the weak and the beggarly things. He picked the... how does that go? The off-scouring. Look around. I used to not think I was off-scouring. I tried to fool myself and to think I wasn't off-scouring. But the more I get to know myself, I find I'm off-scouring. But without that, without seeing your evil and your true state, you won't repent, because you think you have a chance still. Yeah, that was another thing I was thinking about this morning, of things I am still holding on to. All intrinsic in everything I'm talking about this morning implies the letting go of all of your stuff. If there's stuff you're holding on to, it's like, you know, where does God have a chance with you? There's no chance, because you've got a death grip on some memory, some concept, some vision of what you're going to be, what's going to happen to Trinity, what's going to happen to my life, you know, what about me? You know, you're holding on to something. Me is probably the biggest of the holding on to. I guess I was thinking about Ray, too, because I got to go see him tomorrow. Pete and I are going to go over and visit with him. He wants to get baptized. You know, what does he have to hold on to? Let everything go. I mean, death is what it's all about, because at the death's door, what do you have? It's like Judy was talking about her grandmother last night, Gigi. She watched her shed everything in her life. By the time she was about to die, she was down to a gown. That's all she needed in life was a gown, because she spent most of her time in bed, and she walked around a little bit and ate, but she never got out of her gown. So none of the things she had collected her entire life had any value, except the gown, you know. So what things in your life are you holding on to that really is so valuable that you will turn your back to God because you can't let him in. You can't share with him because you got something to do. You got to hang on. You got to make more money. You got to accomplish more projects. You got to learn more about the gospel. You got to. There's no end to what you got to do. But if you start seeing, if you open the door in your from your cavern of darkness, that's one of those holy sayings, you let some light in. And when the light hits these places, the light dissipates the darkness. It doesn't have any problem. It just dissipates it. there's no false hopes, no false understandings about what you're going to do in your life. And you quit worrying about what you're going to do in your life. Because at this point, I mean, if you haven't already done it, there's not much hope. You still got a little few things to do, though, don't you? You got to go to New York.
I guess so.
Get on stage. Do some more stuff. And that's okay. You do whatever you do. But you do whatever's there, but you do it as unto the Lord. And as unto the Lord means you do it with understanding. You do it without reservation. You
and
do it because you've seen.
Understanding wherever our foot touches is
holy ground. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether we're on a stage in New York or here in morning meeting. It doesn't.
And that's really important to understand. Or when you go away from here, you think, oh God, I'm away from there. Like this is it.
Right.
Yeah. If this is it, then this ain't much. This is a few people sitting around the table talking about God. God is about everything. Everything. You can't leave him out of anything. If you have some concepts that he's not in TV, or he's not in football, he's not in this, well, then you're creating this whole scenario where God isn't, so you can be comfortable where you think he is. So, what?
I think that like all those things you were talking about that hold on to mostly have to do with things that we think we're right about.
Yeah.
We're right to hold on to. There's a reason and we're right.
Right. Or you feel
that
it is
a
correct thing to do.
Yeah.
And it came from your brain.
Yeah, I've thought it through carefully.
Which means I'm right.
And I've come to a conclusion.
And then we were reading last night where Paul says there's no one righteous. I mean there's nobody right.
Yeah.
Nobody is got it right. So all the things we think are right.
Yeah, we're fooling ourselves.
Doesn't that suck how much you know that and yet you still go there every now and then? It sucks. Or that.
It's interesting that it does suck. But if you know it sucks, then it's like that ought to be triggers. It's like, let's face it, our mind is going to do this crap every day. Every day we wake up, the mind is going to start its little trips over again. It's just going to happen. That's what it does. But if we retain this knowledge, the simple thing of I'm not right, then whatever comes to us, we can laugh at it. It's a joke, and it's funny. It's not something that we can commit ourselves to, our righteousness. And
every day we have challenges and issues.
Better words.
That through true abandonment of self, that I don't know if I'll ever achieve that. I'm trying to let go. And that I spend less time every day playing judge and jury in my mind about whatever, however I've been wronged or how something hasn't gone right and how I'm inner thoughts where I'm the judge and jury and spending all this time massaging things, and
it's a relief.
Yeah.
We talked about this last time too.
Yeah. If you could pull yourself up and look down, as let's say God sees, and here's this little microscopic germ running around the earth, worrying about what he's going to do.
It'd be like a sitcom for about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I was watching a thing last night about like they were talking about Mars, but they were talking about why Earth has atmosphere and everything because we have a molten core that generates this this magnetic field that keeps the solar winds from blowing our atmosphere completely off the planet. You know, it was like, gee.
Wow. You know? Who came up with that idea?
Like, you know, it's like, and we, you know, we think we've got things under control, you know, figured out, and it's like. Yeah.
We're one molten core away from
total.
Yeah,
it's like.
Yeah.
From the cosmos. Crazy stuff.
It is amazing.
The thing about thinking, feeling small.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. If we could see how small we really are, that's great. That is really good when you see your smallness. Because then this letting go is not difficult. It's like, huh, it's the right thing to happen. You know. And, just in response to your struggle, it's like, Jeff will, you can spend your whole life doing this process. But it's easier if you see that it's already done. You reckon it finished. And then your work is no longer your work. It's already completed in Christ where you sit. And then he has and does the work. Your job is to rest. Even from this righteous thing of letting go. Because you'll turn this doctrine into religion. Meaning something more to do. Even if it's abandoning self. I mean, that's, we would all say, abandoning self, that's good. Jesus said, do that. Well, it's already finished in him. The letting go has taken place. So no matter where you turn, you're going to find that same thing, that the work is complete in him. And then it's already done. And your efforts and labors to make it happen and do it are just trying to give a sop to your Antichrist religious mind. You idiot. Excuse me.
Thank you.
Great little.
Stuff cracks me up. I know it. So we walk in this clay vessel, and we cherish our brokenness sometimes. If we really love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, and mind, we will love our weakness because we will know in our weakness he is made manifest. We'll love our brokenness because in our brokenness the light shines out. We'll love the fact that we are able to love our neighbor. And the feeling that generates when you're not prejudiced, judgmental, casting dispersion, those are ugly things that take place in us. But when you're loving your neighbor, it's like, damn, that feels good. That is a new feeling. It's great. So being able to love is just incredible.
Or you might not even be aware of it.
It might just be happening. Yeah.
Like,
but you can look back and say, wow, I love.
No, don't look back.
And then you can let go. There's no winning here, is there?
That's okay, we're small.
We are very tiny on this planet. Yeah. Isn't that wild? Because in our minds, we don't think we're small. In our minds, we are big.
Our minds don't know shit.
I know, but we think they do sometimes. But I'm so thankful for that repentance is what God has given us. I mean, without that, look what we would do. We would be stuck in our little brains to live. Can you imagine? That's probably what hell is.
It is hell.
Yeah, to live in your brain eternally. Yikes. With unfulfilled desires everywhere. But the minute you let go, it's like, wow, the freedom, the joy. Sigh. All right. What else?
Amen.
Thumbs up. One of these. And you, yeah, two of these. No words. No responses. Last call. Take a big guy. Over and out.